More rampant speculation brings you
Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City for another week. We have a full complement of podcasts here this week. Dave is here, Cam is here, and Frosty is here.
I am.
Great news for all involved.
Well, for me.
Well, you're back. You had a week off. How's your week off?
Busy.
Did you listen to the podcast?
I did. Huh. It was a good pod.
Thank you. I wasn't searching for that at all.
People like it when we rampantly speculate about stuff.
Do they?
Let's do that.
What, rampantly speculate?
Yes.
Because that's pretty much all there is, isn't it?
Well, yes. we have some facts now, which is always nice.
Yeah, we have things that we speculated about last week and then got very quickly announced by all the parties that we're speculating about. We have an announcement of the A-League season starting. We have a draw for New Zealand football for both the men's and the women's national leagues. And we have a bit more of an idea about what the Phoenix are going to look like. So let's start there with the Phoenix. Obviously, they start on December 27th. Well, the season does. We don't know anything about fixtures or anything, but it's kind of nice having a start date confirmed that it's going to go ahead.
Yeah, it's not that far away either. So you'd think that there'd be a whole lot of preseason that's got to happen.
In my head, it's 3 months away, but actually it's not at all. That's 2 months away.
2 months.
Weeks.
2 months away and they've got...
How long does the season normally go for? I'm just realising now I actually don't know how long
it
normally
is. October through to May, so 7 months?
7 to 8 months, depending on finals.
Yeah, well, the rumours I hear are that it's about the same, somewhere between 6 and 8 months, so that sounds about the same.
Feels like there'll be some midweek games, but not as many, obviously, as the restart.
Yeah.
But that's to get it in by June, I guess.
Well, no,
if there's no crowds, it doesn't really matter so much.
No, and I expect during that January period, as we normally do every season, we'll see a cluster of games during the midweek.
Which is
quite good for the viewers anyway. So I think we'll see that for sure to start the season. I think we'll see a lot of games in a quick space of time, which will be nice.
Great game.
And then I reckon it'll settle back into a reasonably normal schedule with the odd midweek.
Yeah, I mean, if they're at the point where they're allowed to have some supporters, just not having games every day, midweek games will make that tough. But having your weekend of Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, or Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is, makes sense, and it makes sense for TV as well. So, yeah, certainly over that holiday period, the A-League have done that traditionally, what is it, the summer of football or whatever it is, where it's a game a day for 25 days or whatever it is.
And I love that. That's really great.
Yeah.
I think actually I remember one year they did every single match on one day as
Big
well.
Big Wednesday.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed that as well, because we were first cab off the rank, and then to the pub to watch the rest of the games was excellent.
I think January 5th, 2012, I think it was, a while ago now, so we kind of digging that out. The problem with that is that you then have to go at least 4 or 5 days after it without playing anything, because nothing else is on.
Good way to start the season, though, with a hiss and a roar.
Every game on the 27th of December.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool. I might be in my own in this, but I'm okay with that. I'm happy to take feedback.
I like doing it closer to New Year's.
New Year's Eve.
Whoa. Well, no, not New Year's Eve, but maybe the day before New Year's Eve, and then you've got your 3 or 4 days off when everyone's like, I'm good with a bit of a break from that, you know? Like, that'd be good.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that 100%, but certainly looking forward to having the football back. When do we reckon the Phoenix will start preseason?
Soon. Well, they kind of have to, don't they?
The rumblings, the word from the camp that's out there is that they're going to be doing preseason over in Australia, which sounds pretty reasonable and correct. I don't think we know any details about when or where, but you'd imagine they're going over pretty soon.
Yeah. You'd have to imagine, like, the two choices are go over late now that there's no quarantine requirement, or go over early because you'll take out the risk of quarantining coming back in.
But there's also the logistics to iron out.
Absolutely. And there's you can imagine your place to day and train, and you're away from your home base for a very, very long time. Guys will be looking at getting rid of their leases here and stuff to, you know, because they're not going to be here.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's not just about setting yourself up in Oz. It's also about tying off loose ends here. Yeah. So, and, you know, you think of your families and all that sort of stuff. So I can imagine the water under the bridge is quite a strong current to it.
Yeah, yeah, you can imagine there'll be a lot of families that will be relocating for 6 months. I mean, that's a big call. And I mean, it's going to take a hell of an effort.
Families is tough though, right? Because if you've got kids at school, then that's not really feasible. But if you're young and you've got a partner and nothing else, then that's possible. So, I mean, it's going to come down to individual situation. Everyone has to make that call for themselves.
Yeah, I could definitely see some of our Aussie pros moving up sticks for six months, going back. You know, obviously the Kiwis a little bit, or anyone kind of, as you say, with kids, it's going to be a bit of an issue.
Well, and it's a risk discussion as well. You know, if you are, say, David Ball, for example, who's got his family and his kids here in New Zealand, do you want to drag them to probably New South Wales, where there are definitely cases of community transmission, or do you leave the family over here and go away? You know, you're a football professional. You're pretty used to being away from the family quite a bit. Maybe
8 months,
it's
though.
I know. But I know certainly some of the staffers that I've spoken to kind of off the record are, the family staying here, but the plan is, assuming the bubble arrangements stay the way they are, bring them over during school holidays, because you don't have to quarantine for them to come over. So you can spend, you know, 2-3 weeks with the family, which would be quite nice. Mm. You'll probably have some time with them over Christmas as well, depending on how you manage it. So having windows where you see them might still work.
Do you have to quarantine on the way back though?
Currently, yes. But who knows what the situation is come, say, March next year.
Exactly. Yeah. You look at the future school holidays, you look at the fact that any games towards the end of next season, there's a much higher chance that we could get a home game or three here, which would be really, really good.
Yeah. And,
do you see them rearranging it though? I don't.
That's the next thing I was going to ask.
Okay.
Because I'll ask the question, because if family can travel back and forward without, why would we not bring games to Wellington?
Well, this is what I think, is that at the moment we can't, for obvious reasons. Absolutely. Quarantine makes that not possible. Yep. But if we get rid of the quarantine, which 6 months from feasible. Now, it's entirely possible, right? And if you can bring 3 or 4 games back here, whether you play a couple here and a couple in Auckland, or two here in Auckland and Christchurch, and if you're playing well and doing well, maximising your return on investment for those games, 100% you must do it. But in saying that, I wouldn't bring the squad back to live here. I would leave them in their training base that they've set up in Australia, because when you set up that training base over there, you've got, again, your leases that you're signing for the entire period of time they're over there. It's not like you can then go, oh, actually, no, we don't need it after 5 months. Sorry, we're out. You know, there's a lot of stuff there.
You're essentially away game back to Wellington.
Exactly. So if you can get a Wellington home game instead of playing at Wollongong, bring it back to Wellington and play it here.
Yeah, assuming Wollongong.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting though, because I think you'll have other teams. In fact, many ways, it's going to be very similar to the restart we just watched, right? Where there was a lot of changing scenarios where if things went into lockdown again, plans would have been activated for various things. You know, positive cases were going to mean certain things. I think we're going to be looking at a similar scenario where, while it's not operating at a full bubble level, they've got to be ready for the potential that, you know, Australia could lock down again, New Zealand could lock down again. You know, there's got to be some scenarios going into that planning. So, I think that's why we have a start date and no draw yet. But I also won't be surprised if we do get a staged draw, kind of like what we did where, you know, we got some fixtures announced, but the others were still up in the air because, you know, if they could play them in Melbourne, they were going to play them in Melbourne. And, you know, I think every team is going to be looking for the same thing, whether or not it's international travel, which obviously adds another bunch of hoops. But I think, you know, you're going to have Perth, for example, being probably expected to play most of their games in New South Wales under the current state, because there's a hard border. They're not going to be able to travel back and forth between Sydney and Perth, and they're going to need to be New South Wales based probably for most of this. So I think every team's going to go, but if the border changes, we want to be able to have home games. And I think that'll have to be built into whatever this is, or there will have had to be a really comprehensive kind of commercial package and commercial reason not to do that. Because obviously money is a big factor for why you'd want to play a game in Wellington in front of a crowd, is because you're actually going to make some money off that game.
Yep.
But if the commercial reasons are sound enough and they've got a good enough structure in place that it's not going to matter, you're going to have to go, well, we won't deal with the kind of ego boost of having it at home and just suck it up and keep playing here.
Yep.
So those deals will have to be getting nailed down now. And honestly, who knows which way that'll fall. But I won't be surprised if we do get a staged draw where they're like, here's the draw for December or January. And then after that, we'll see.
It's the whole thing's moving feast, as you say. Yep. And there's no reason why, if Western Australia opened the border, which they, I think they talked April, was that right? Some not before yep. April, then they're probably in a situation where they can take crowds.
Oh, yeah. You
know? And the other rest of Australia might not be. They will. They'll get revenue. We'd be in a position where we can take crowds. So we can, that shared revenue, I think we talked about last time, the last pod, will be in the exact same situation. And it's within a good reason for the A-League, the FFA, to want Wellington to host games with crowds.
Yeah. Yeah, but we rely on an entirely separate government, which is going to be interesting. Obviously, in Australia, you've got federal and state, and the states are doing different things to each other, but you're going to have the New Zealand government on board as well to have games here, which, I mean, we don't show any signs of wanting to open up to countries that have community transmission. We are, you know, the Australia Trans-Tasman bubble that exists at the moment is very much one way. We've offered literally nothing, and Australia gone, great, that sounds like a perfect deal. And, you know, that's how it is.
It seems very un-Australian, I'll be honest.
They want tourists. They want people travelling. And, you know, the federal government wanted that to happen and forced it on the states that didn't want it as well. I mean, all those people buggering off to Melbourne and Perth and all of that is kind of what the federal government expected to happen. They're like, well, that's your problem, not ours. We were only letting them into Sydney. From there, it's your problem. So
yeah, that was a bit dark catching those guys.
I feel a very tangential kind of direction there.
It's where you've got the differences between federal and state government, though, which is still going to be a thing the FFA are having to work with too, where the federal government and the New South Wales government and what they want might be very different from what West Australia or Victoria or Queensland, for example,
what
want.
And
South Australia sit kind of weirdly in the middle of all of that.
What did the NRL do? Like, I genuinely don't know, don't follow it, but what did they do?
They basically had bubbles, basically New South Wales based. And I think initially they did have some based in Victoria, but that quickly stopped. And everyone moved up to Queensland.
And the thing with the NRL is it's very Sydney based anyway, very New South Wales based anyway. So it wasn't like you had a huge number of teams having to come in from outside. Most teams were playing home games, which isn't feasible. Like, it's feasible to a certain point when you get the four New South Wales, five? What is it? Five now with the MacArthur Rams coming in?
Correct.
Bulls. So
Bulls.
Yeah.
MacArthur Bulls. Yep.
MacArthur Bulls. There we are. It's just male animals.
Something.
There's something, yeah.
MacArthur Livestock. There you go.
MacArthur Rams is a way better name than MacArthur Bulls. Anyway. So with that coming in, you've got the five out of the 12 being New South Wales based, which I guess is a higher percentage than my thought initially. But still, if you're having to base the whole thing in New South Wales, that's seven of your 12 teams coming from outside. But the draw is 26 game season, I believe, which is you play everyone twice and then some extra games come from somewhere.
Yeah, I think they do the same. Again, they do the same similar thing in NRL. You don't play everybody the same number of times, but you do play everyone. So we'll play everybody twice. That's 22. And then they'll give you four other games. Maybe it's two from the top six, two from outside the top six from last season with a factor built in for MacArthur.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, it could just be random as well.
It could be, but that would suck if you ended up with Sydney and us and Perth and...
Well,
Melbourne City
from last year.
The thing is, though, that with the number of squad changes and all sorts of things, there's very little continuity with any squad in the A-League. So.
You make a great point, man, because COVID's really smashed that to pieces.
Oh, there's been a few teams that have been absolutely murdered, but other teams been doing fine.
Yeah, so, okay, let's talk about that with the Phoenix, because the Phoenix have now lost even more players. We now know that Matty Stoneman is gone. He's gone to India, I think.
He wasn't on contract anyway, so.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Sure.
East something or other.
East Bengal Tigers. There we go. Yeah. I don't have my animals down for Australia, but I know the Indian Superannuation League very well. Mm. So he was already off contract, was he?
Yeah.
Yes. I think there was a second year option.
Right.
But the option, I don't know, I think it was his. So
well, and even if it was ours, we weren't in a position to be renegotiating extensions or options with anyone. You know,
chatted to him and said, hey, we'd love you back, but this is all we can offer. He's still going to go, okay.
I don't even think the club were in a position to make any offers. You didn't know if the season was going to go ahead.
Yeah.
They might have had an idea of the sort of money they could have talked, but they wouldn't have been able to go, here's an offer. I think they would have been able to go, If we can make you an offer, it might be like this, but we can't tell you for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a horrible situation to be in, and that's why we're losing players. But it's also a situation lots of other clubs have been in, and I guess there's certainly a perception this side of the Tasman that we're the only ones losing all these big name players. That's not true. A lot of teams have been decimated.
The Wanderers have been absolutely smashed.
My understanding from a couple of chats I've had with staff members is that we have made some signings, or certainly some handshake deals with a few players that you can expect to start getting announced now that there's a bit of certainty around the season going ahead.
Yeah. Are we going to speculate?
Well, I mean, we can in a moment because I have no names, but I would assume that it's players that kind of only have ties to one club or in a position of negotiating with one and are pretty happy with a handshake deal for now, and, you know, we'll sort out the details later.
National New Zealand Premier League.
Yep.
I think it's most of your Kiwi boys, New Zealand-based players.
Yep.
Probably the ones that are going to take any deal they get at the moment because that's what they can get.
And I think Ufi has a bit of pull as well with some youth players in Australia that I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few there who don't have, you know, solid A-League deals already that he's tapping on the shoulder and going, mate, wait a week and I can give you a contract, you know? And
well, he's got Devlin is an example of this is the break you can make here.
Yep.
And here's the benefit of the preseason is in Australia. So you go over there, people can fly in, join the team straight away.
Yeah. And so I think it would be fair to assume all those players are going to be young Kiwis and Australians. I don't think any of those deals would have been big name marquee players or anything like that we're keeping under wraps. But the reality is the league is going to become a largely local league. So
yeah, there's no real loss. You know? And we're in a good position there where we can sign two countries' worth of players.
Yeah. We suddenly have a big advantage.
Yeah, exactly. I saw today on Facebook, on Winton Roofer's Facebook, which had a photo of him and Te Atawahatsi Wihongi, and he was stating that he was happy to be with New Wellington Phoenix player Te Atawahatsi Wihongi, which was interesting because I don't believe he's currently announced as a Phoenix player. But that's a kind of good signing that you want, right?
He had a two-year.
Does he have a two-year?
Yeah, I thought he might have.
I might be wrong, but I generally thought he was contracted to this season coming up already.
Right, because I saw Rollo say something about that being extra, that being new information that Wihongi was confirmed, something like
that.
So then that's
my bad. I've misunderstood.
Yeah. He's the perfect sort of person you should be signing.
He would be a great example of that if Ufi and Domi have said, we want to sign you, but we're not going to announce it yet, T would take that at, you know, face value and be good with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few other guys that have been knocking around that are probably looking for a step up, guys like Clayton Lewis.
He is the name, to be fair.
Yeah,
he is the name that everybody's talking about.
Jack Henry Sinclair is an outside shout.
Yep.
There's a couple of guys that have been, you know.
Otto's back in the country.
Don't look at me, everybody. Jeez. Otto and I have sorted out our differences, and I think he is a perfectly adequate handy prim player.
He has a outstanding haircut.
A-League quality haircut, though.
A-League quality haircut.
I mean, if you're judging on a Ryan Grant scale there, then anybody's got an A-League quality haircut.
His is better than Ryan Grant's, and that's...
Define better. Worse. You mean doing worse?
No. Ryan Grant's is genuinely worse.
Right, okay. Maybe
that's not a high bar, Cam.
I'm not... Does it have to be a high bar? It seems to suit Watto better.
Okay, great. I'm glad that we sidebarred onto that.
There we go. Random speculation.
Unrelatedly, just because we're here and I haven't told you this, Pat, I bumped into him the other week after a football game and I bought all my beer and told him it was from you.
Oh, nice. What did he say? What did he say?
He laughed and that was the end of that.
Did he drop it on his toe and show you as such?
No, he drank the beer. He was happy to have a beer, but I jokingly said, oh, this is from Pat. Nice.
Thank you for listening to the pod this week, everybody. That's enough of that nonsense. Yeah, well, it's good to have some sort of confirmation about a start date because you can start announcing those players and you assume that in the background with an announcement of a date, you've got a bit more solidification around how much money is coming from TV deal, what the salary cap is actually going to be, all that kind of thing, which means that the planning for all these clubs can actually start and go ahead rather than sitting in that speculation world, which is where I imagine they've been for the last 3-4 months without really knowing what's going on. So everything is looking like it's pretty good for the A-League. It certainly still exists, which it wasn't necessarily going to for a while.
Yeah, you mentioned the TV deal. Do we have any information about that yet?
Well,
I've heard nothing because I know we renegotiated for the end portion of last year. I don't know if that renegotiation included the next season as well.
I think
it did, which would suggest we're getting almost no money because that renegotiation from the end of last season was a huge downgrade on the TV money. And if my memory serves correct, that extended through until the next season as well.
It does.
Which means we're getting... dog shit in terms of money.
The games had to be finished by the end of June or something. That's a TV requirement, I think, is the...
I don't know the details, honest.
Yeah, but certainly the money they were talking about was not good money. Big, big downgrades. That means serious impact there once you take out the audience ticket money as well.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers I've been hearing are basically just 50% of what we had previously, whatever that number was.
Which was low anyway because fucked it up.
And the thing is, though, I think that 50% is based on 50% of the TV money. We're now also effectively removing the revenue of tickets as well.
Yeah.
Which means that you might be talking a hell of a lot of the kind of operating budget for teams in the league being out of there. The ticket sales for a lot of the clubs were never huge, but as a league-wide thing, there certainly was a not insignificant amount of money coming in there.
I want to touch on that. If you're the Phoenix, do you sell a season membership this year? Obviously, it will look very different to what it's looked every single other season.
You sell a membership, but you don't sell a season ticket.
No.
It's not a ticket.
I said a season membership.
So the membership that you would sell would get you into all the Resi's games because obviously they're playing the Handy Prem. Yep. So you would get seven games for your money.
Yep. You're just speculating, of course.
Team Wellington and the Resi's. Yeah, I've got no idea if they're doing this, but this is what you would do, right?
Yeah.
Domi will be listening, so Domi, this is what you should do.
This is what you should do.
This is what we would pay money for.
Membership, you'll get eight games because they'll have an away game in Wellington against Team Wellington. And then if we do have games come over from Australia because there is a travel bubble, discounted price.
And I think you should also try and include priority buying for finals, should we make it?
100%.
With the ability to travel if a one-way bubble or whatever bubble exists, I'm sure there'd be people keen to go, and so your membership should absolutely get you priority tickets to a final.
They'll be doing those kind of social events for the away home games as well too, I assume.
And maybe discounts for that. Events.
Yeah,
whether they do them as frequently as they tried to do last time, or as big as they tried to do last time, is up for debate.
I think you'd choose maybe a quarter of the season and do relatively big events, and maybe then you organise, hey, come down the Kings, watch the game with other people, but don't go hard on it.
The other thing you have to remember is there's going to be staff in Australia as well. Exactly. There's going to be minimal staff here.
And that's what we talked about.
Why would you have an office here?
That's what we talked about last week, right? So just have a case of you choose a few games or it's a big deal and we try and foster the club feel around that, and then just have an official away bar.
I think it makes more sense if the FIFA put on some events for games.
Well, and I think the other, just to go back to the membership thing, I think the other component you've got to have here is digital. I think you have to offer some digital connection with the team in that membership. So what that looks like could be a variety of things, but I think you need to be doing that twofold though. So you do need to be engaging wider with your casual fans, get that kind of interest up, but you also need to offer something a little special to those members. So
yeah, you do like
whether it be the press conferences and stuff are much more likely to be live streamed, and there'll be some weird different stuff happening there anyway. Give those links to all of the members so they can watch the press conference after the game if they want to, and maybe include some, ability to do Q&As with players and, have some live chats or stuff like that, which
that's
would work easy and give that engagement.
You do like they were doing last season with the Next Stars and Lockdown with Piney. You get Piney and have an exclusive stream just for members to watch that and listen in on that. And so that'll be a thing to do. But digital space is where it's going to be at, I think.
I'm thinking with Sky as a sponsor, it's like if there's a potential for, buying A-League games or the A-League season as a whole or just the Knicks games, that would be an option too.
Have to be a negotiation with Sky around that because they're very much shied away from doing those season passes of certain sports. That opens up a can of worms for them. But
if they wanted to sponsor the pod and maybe put us on as a TV show, I'd be into that too.
Well, we can do our own TV show. We don't need them to do it for us. And we can.
But airing on Sky would be good.
Oh, no, we're not that level. We'll just do our own little Twitch stream. But
I'm just imagining how quick you'd have to be on the bleep button.
Kazooing.
You're allowed to swear on Twitch, just not to show. Allowed to show any nipples, which could be a problem for us if we're doing like a live watch of a game or something.
Definitely be a problem.
That would be in violation of the Twitch terms of services. Also, wouldn't be able to play our theme song either because they'd just cut us off. So, it'd be very disappointing.
They just mute that on the VODs. It'd be
true. Actually, good point. Yeah.
The Yellow Fever events, though, is an interesting one.
I like that idea. I think that we should choose a venue and really push that hard. And even if the Phoenix are organising something, they've often been at bars that we've never had a relationship with before.
I actually think don't do it when the Phoenix is doing it. Do it when they're not. Yeah. So you prefer to pick a game and even contact the club and say, hey, we're looking at pushing an event for this game on this date and pick a Friday night, or probably Friday night is the best one. So if we play a Friday night game, say we'd like to push an event, we're going to go to the pub that we go to and contact the pub and sort out deals. And, you know, I mean, it's not easy, and it'd be cool to get maybe try and get sponsorship on board for it. Pie in the sky thinking. But I think you would have a great chance of getting people there.
I was about to just go back to old thing and say, get a player down there who didn't travel. But,
which would be great, but maybe you could try ex-players.
You could get some reserves down there. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Or ex-players. So someone like, if you could get contact with Ives, or you could get in contact with Siggy.
Hamish Watson.
Yeah, Mark Paston.
I actually saw him out for a jog today.
Yeah. But there are plenty of players
still in Wellington. Hamish Watson was not going for a jog.
No, Paston.
There we go, I was right.
But there are plenty of players still in Wellington or within the region that may come along for an appearance.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's, Yellow Fever, if you're listening, organise some shit.
Well, and I think one as well, I'm going to biff out because I know we've kind of talked about this as a group, but no one's really driven it. If someone's keen to help, get in touch with us. But is doing the 12 pubs anyway. Yeah. Despite the fact we won't have any football, there will be a Team Wellington game, I believe. Patrick's going to tell us the date.
That's a good point, actually.
The plan was pie in the sky that we'd try and tie it around a T-Dubs game just before Christmas, and there is one.
19th of December.
Beautiful. So that game there, trying to do a 12 pubs, obviously it would have quite a different feel. We'd probably have to do a few pubs out on the peninsula before the game. Maybe we organise a bus back into the city, do the usual Courtney plays, finish the evening. But yeah, it'd be cool. But it will require a bit more logistics because we'll have to know numbers, and it won't just be we can rock up and walk around various bars. We'll have to actually plan it. So if anyone's keen to get involved with helping plan that, get in touch, because I'm sure there'll be a couple bodies already keen to chip in, but some extra help always makes that stuff go easier. And I reckon there'd be a nice one to still do since, you know, we're not going to have football at the usual time. So let's get around the T-Dubs game and, make that a thing.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't think there's much else in the A-League Phoenix sphere that we need to talk about, but there could be anything that I have forgotten, but nobody's really jumping at the chance. There we go.
The club are announcing their awards for last season.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Obviously, they couldn't have an awards night because of COVID.
Yeah.
And now it's a bit late to be trying to put on such an event, especially when you have to base yourself out of Australia for the season.
True.
So they're announcing those. I think it's Thursday and Friday this week. So keep a lookout for the social media channels for the Phoenix to hear what's going on.
I assume they're going to do it just like New Zealand Football did it, with just pre-recorded videos that they'll post out through the evening.
I haven't heard anything about it, so I genuinely can't tell you.
I reckon I'm sure
you'll have some plenty of graphics and stuff.
Yeah. I reckon we should all tuxedo up and
it's got two nights.
Congratulations two back days. To the it's fun. I offered to actually announce one of those awards for them, but they have not been in touch to take me up on my offer, which Tom, if you're listening, disappointed, man. Disappointed.
The Paolo Maldini Award or
no, I was gonna try and announce the members player of the year.
You probably need to be a member for that, though.
Which I've just realised is probably not right because I wasn't a member. So yeah. I'll announce player's player because I'm equally qualified to announce that.
No, you're not.
Well, I'm also not a player, right?
Move on.
Great. Let's go to the Handy Prem, which there are now two of, because ISPS Handa have also got on board to sponsor the what is now called the ISPS Handa Women's Premiership as well, which is a much better name than National Women's League. Big ups to them for getting on board, and great, there's a bit more money going into the Women's League. Unfortunately, because of the circumstances around the world, it's going back down to one round this time around. But hopefully next season we can see that jump back up again with a little bit more funds available. But the draw for both of them have been announced. We'll talk about the men's premiership first, which gets underway on the 14th of November and heads through to the middle of March, well, the final on the 14th. The normal break over Christmas, a bit like we just said, there's that game right before Christmas. So we kick off in round one with a 2 p.m. game on the 14th, which will be
Wellington Derby.
Wellington Derby.
Royal Classic.
Yeah. Phoenix.
It's a great way to kick off the season.
Mm. Oh, there's two games kicking off at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll get go wait for us to kick off the season. Not even looking at what else is being played. We've got World Clasico as the first game on the first Saturday.
Yeah, you've got South Island Canterbury United taking on Waitakere, Hawke's Bay taking on Hamilton, and then a Super City derby, Auckland taking on Eastern Suburbs as well.
Ooh,
which
that's
is
a big
very
one.
Tasty as well. So they've certainly front-loaded this draw, which is good to kick it off with a bang. So that game's out at Fraser Park, the Wellington one, that is. And then T-Dubs host their first home game out at Davey F on the 21st of November, a week later. I do notice there's an 11:30 a.m. game on here on the 6th of February, which...
So obviously with Dave touching on last week, travel schedule issues, there is at least a couple of games which are kicking off at unusual times to allow for teams to get in and out on the same day.
Which makes sense. Which is
fantastic. I having heard... The extent of the problems from a few people was concerned it was going to require a real big shuffle, as we talked about last week, thinking you might be doing kind of hubbed games or something. But it looks from this draw like they've really managed to do a good job of wrangling that. And, you know, if that means an 11:30 kickoff time in order to avoid doing hubs or bubbles or anything like that, then fantastic.
Yeah, because you look at
that's a great idea.
The last flight to Auckland from Wellington on a Saturday is about 6:15, whereas on a Sunday it's at 9 o'clock at night. Yep. So you have every chance of playing a later game, getting played without, even having a 4 o'clock kickoff to get TV on, right?
Yep.
But in the current environment, that's just not feasible. So good on New Zealand Football for managing to get a really usable and user-friendly draw.
Well, this is just a completely normal draw.
11:30 kickoff on a Sunday, on a Saturday, I'm all for that. That's a great time for me. Yep. I'd love to get out and watch football at that time.
Yeah, well, you can do that, and you can fly up to Auckland and watch Auckland City versus Team Wellington the next day.
Well, and the fantastic thing that I think it was you pointed out earlier, Cam, is actually there's a game in the Wellington region every week.
Every round would
be more accurate for this draw, which is fantastic. So either T-Dubs or the Phoenix have a home game every round.
Yep. I think what people need to realise is that genuinely this could be the only, with the women obviously as well, the only football you're going to see this season live. So I know before the Phoenix existed, T-Dubs used to get really, really good crowds down at Newtown Park.
Yep.
We really need to encourage people again to get along in those kind of numbers. You're not going to be able to get along to the stadium to see the Phoenix because they're just not going to be there. So get along and support T-Dubs. And you only have to go to a couple of games in the season to really make a massive difference to the bottom line for a club like them.
And we say before about the Phoenix and the A-League, the ticket sales being a portion of sales, but really it's the commercial where the money's really made. But that's the opposite for these games where the $10 at the gate makes a huge difference. You get 300, 400 people onto your game. That's a big difference to getting 50. So, we'll certainly be pushing these hard, and I'll be at the majority of the games that I can make it to. I'll be at all the games I can make it to, which was hopefully the majority of games. That's a better way to say it. But yeah, like you guys have said, I want to back up. This is an amazing draw because it just looks normal, and that is really outstanding given all the circumstances at the moment that is around the league. The only thing that isn't normal is that there is no broadcast partner currently announced. Whether that means Sky aren't broadcasting it or they haven't locked down details yet, I don't know. But you'd hope that if Sky aren't broadcasting, that the clubs could at least arrange a live stream of their own. I know that Total Football and Wellington have been doing a bunch of live streams, so get them involved and get them out to these Wellington games every week and at least get those on the internet, for example, if we can. But
The other option is it could be still in negotiations with New Zealand Football and a provider.
Totally. So
they may not have been able to announce that yet.
That's what I kind of hinted at before when I don't know what it is, but if there is no official broadcast partner, then by all means, please let the clubs do it themselves, because certainly better than not seeing anything other than Twitter updates, which we've become used to.
I'm kind of excited about the women's Handy Prem.
Yeah.
Just mainly because there's still the possibility of a W League side. And if you're young up-and-coming player, this is an opportunity to make a big, put a big stake in the ground. Hey, I'm the best you can get from New Zealand.
Absolutely. And if that's going to be a New Zealand, Australia-based team, then
exactly.
Then this is where a bunch of those players are going to come from. But there's the seven clubs in that. Is that a different, is it a change or has it been seven for a while?
Because it's based on the confederations.
True, actually. But we haven't lost Southern United, that's the thing. The first Wellington game, if I can click the button on, there we go. The first Wellington game is on the 7th of November. So I think they kick off a couple of weeks earlier against Southern at Petone Memorial Park. So does that mean it finishes all before Christmas? I don't know.
I think it's still a full home and away schedule. So
is it really? So I believe, did I get that wrong earlier?
I believe it is.
Okay, that's my
fault. If it's not, then again, that's COVID hitting everything. So that'll be my fault for not reading that correctly.
I don't think it is because I can't advance past round seven.
That's got to have been COVID then.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a shame, but.
It is a shame, but it's also understandable, right?
Yeah.
So you're over by Christmas. So if you want to see the women play, get along.
I enjoy that there is a club on the standings called Buy, because I've obviously had to put a Buy club in this. The software that they use doesn't have buys, apparently. So I reckon Buy might come last.
Here's a question. Would you, if the Phoenix do put together a W League team for Australia, would you have a women's resis team try and play in this competition?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Do you reckon New Zealand football will be on board with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you reckon there's enough breadth of talent within New Zealand to be able to do that?
The Domi's always talked about there being much younger than the equivalent men's resis. So
you're taking a decent chunk of a team out of the competition to play in Australia.
Well, are we seeing girls in the ages, you know, around about 15, 16?
Like you say, I think that team would have to be similar to the Phoenix and that it would have to be age group based. The National League side would have to be restricted in some way, potentially age or potentially something else. But I think I agree with you. The talent in these teams is quite different. There are definitely some teams significantly better than other teams in there. And if you were to drag kind of the best 18 players out of all those teams, it would leave a bit of a gulf. But I think you've got to view these leagues as development leagues. I don't think the National League in New Zealand can be viewed as anything other than for developing players. I think if we try and pretend it's a premier competition, we're kidding ourselves. And I think you'd have to view it that way, saying actually the youngest talents all going to a Phoenix squad and creating some space for players to move in the other teams wouldn't be the worst thing. And I think if it is age restricted, you'd still see a lot of those W League players potentially able to play for their federation. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a problem.
The other thing you could see is the Phoenix assisting in the running of the capital team, and that becoming essentially that second team. So you're not taking an extra team in there, taking players away from whatever it exists, but you're seeing some sort of alignment and some pathway for the younger players to come through towards that W League team.
I think the other federations would be likely to hate that more.
Yeah, totally. Yep. That's a fair point. But if they're losing three or four of their best players, then I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's all pie in the sky, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the reality with the W League stuff is I would expect that whole thing's been delayed by a season. Yeah. I think without COVID, you probably do see a W League side being talked about for the season that would be starting about now. With COVID, I think you're not talking about it till the following season.
Yep, for sure.
With the dollars being so significantly impacted, and you know, shifting a whole pile of your staff across to Australia, there's probably just not going to be the resources.
It's just not viable, realistically.
If you bring them back in August, with the possibility of the season again kicking off towards the end of 2021, then there's every chance that goes through next year.
I mean, realistically,
do we have a W League announced for next season
yet? I think we do. I think that was announced at the same time as the A League. I just trying to bring that up on their website.
Realistically,
there we go. Yes, they confirmed the start date to be the something same day as the A League. So they confirmed it to come back as well. So so that's that confirmed, which is a good way to do it. And New Zealand football did the same thing where they announced everything together, which is nice to see that alignment that New Zealand football's brought the National Women's League up to the same level in terms of sponsorship dollars and the way they announce it as the men's league. So, I think Team Wellington had their first get together for the season on Monday night. Cam? Yeah,
that's correct, yes.
You were there?
I was.
Was it fun?
Everyone certainly looked like they were raring to go.
I can imagine after the way that the last year's season ended with a bit of a whimper and then getting them all back.
I would say there was an unfinished business kind of feel to some parts of the conversation in the evening.
There we go. You said it, not me. It is, right? Like they didn't get the chance. Auckland were given the league and you couldn't really complain about it, but at the same time it was not being able to play out those last games must have been frustrating for the team. So I imagine they'll be really enjoying being back in the park playing football together.
Absolutely. And I'm really, really looking forward to them doing so. Mainly because we've been so long without that kind of level of football. And it's just I'll be looking forward to whenever those preseason games kick off, which probably can't be too far away, going along and having a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Central League and stuff only just finishing, you'd expect most of those players to be coming in pretty good condition. I wouldn't be surprised if they're into matches pretty quickly. Mm. It's not like you've got to do a lot of fitness and a lot of stuff. You know, these guys are coming off decent minutes. Mm. I would expect, see a preseason game in the next week or two, I would expect.
Yep.
Any interesting faces at T-Dubs the other night?
I'm not allowed to say.
I thought I'd sneak it out of you.
Sorry, mate.
But I couldn't. I've seen photos.
Any familiar faces?
Well, if you have a look on their social media today, they have released some of the some images that I took last night.
Carefully curated images, I guess.
Carefully curated images. So I can assure you that the people that were seen there are involved.
Yeah, good.
So yeah. I think it was Andy Bevan. I think Mario Barcia was in one.
Yeah, Natty's there as well.
Natty Hallamarian. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, it was worth a try. The All Whites kit has been announced, and the game that it was going to be debuted in has been cancelled. We'll start with the cancelled game. The England game, as we kind of suspected and everybody kind of knew.
Everyone knew it.
Even when it was announced, isn't going ahead, which is completely...
I did see the day that was confirmed as cancelled that immediately all the Australians were talking about how Australia were going to jump in there and play it instead. I don't know if I've seen anything more on that, but
I don't know.
Talk that the Socceroos were going to try and take it up instead.
They do definitely... Well, I say different. They probably have enough players based within the UK to be able to perform a team. I don't think it'd be that competitive.
Been that competitive either, though.
If we'd been able to take all our players over? I mean, competitive for a broad definition.
Yeah.
But if we had to base it on England-based, if we had to take it from English-based players, then no, not at all. No. But Australia's. They've got a broader talent base and more of them based in the UK. So they could probably put together a decent team.
You can draw on Europe, so, you know.
Yeah. Again, we could have drawn on Europe as well, but there were still concerns about getting players in and out due to quarantining between countries as well. So there was a lot of issues involved in that.
If
they're all in England, you can probably get away with it.
I can't see Australia being able to play this game either for all the same reasons that we can't.
I thought it was interesting that they jumped at that. And I don't think it's gone anywhere, but certainly we all knew New Zealand weren't going to be playing that game.
No, and so as a result, we'll be playing this game on Football Manager between a New Zealand-based English team and a New Zealand-based New Zealand team. Keep your eyes out for that.
Can you do the reverse and try and keep it below double figures?
No, I don't think there's probably not going to be enough players from New Zealand based in England in the Football Manager database.
Football Manager, yeah.
Probably will be. Yeah, there will be. Some of them will be pretty low.
Yeah,
it depends how long. If it goes down as low as the Ryman League, you'll probably
League 3 or something.
I don't know. The kit. There are massively mixed feelings about the kit. I think it's announced on New Zealand Football's website. I'm going to go and look at it again because I hate it. I despise it. So the home kit, okay. The away kit, no.
I like it.
Really?
Yep.
So the home kit is kind of the white kit with a little pattern down under the sleeves. Really simple, something different, standard New Zealand Football home kit.
Quite like the home kit.
Yep. Happy. The away kit is like this weird like V, like...
Okay, do you want a good description of it? Imagine the Nigerian kit from the last World Cup.
Yep. Yeah, and that was awful.
That's exactly what it is.
And I hated it.
So did I.
Yeah.
No, see, I don't mind it. I think it looks... I think the static image like that looks worse than it does on players, the same as the Nigerian kit. I thought the Nigerian kit, when they were wearing it on the field, actually looked pretty darn good.
I disagree, but that's okay.
But I also don't have much love for that home kit. You guys seem to like that. I mean, for me, it's just very plain. I don't dislike it intensely, but I don't think that's a good home kit. I think we've had much nicer home kits than that.
Is the pattern down the side like a Māori design?
I don't know.
If it is,
then yeah, it's good. It's nice.
The blurb on it was that both are... have Maori roots.
It's like a fern pattern. It's like, but the fern and like V's alternate, I think.
Okay.
I look more like Christmas trees.
Yeah, they do. I'm trying to read the description down here.
Christmas trees that have fallen down.
I don't know.
I'm okay with what it is, what you'd expect from a plain white shirt, really.
Yeah.
But that's what we're playing, right?
Correct. Which is why I'm like, I don't hate it, but it's not my favorite either. But I think the away kit's fine. I like that for an away kit, we do something a bit different. We've had just very plain black kits before. That's very boring. I'm glad they've done something different.
See, I was a fan when they had the corduroy with the fern design on the shoulders from the last kit.
Oh, okay, so I see.
That I'm a fan of, but it's this one, I just don't like it.
They're claiming this is also the fern.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is just not the case at all because Nigeria wore it last year and Nigeria don't have the fern. They're just trying to justify it to me, the V's.
I find the kind of kit hate odd because the Phoenix kit that has quite a similar vibe, like certainly they're not the same, but a similar vibe that everyone was like, oh my God, we need to buy that. That training kit that they got specially made up because everyone loved it so much is not that dissimilar from what we're talking about here, absolutely hating. I
think they're absolutely different. Yeah, the other one was stripes done in a pattern that was more minimalistic than this.
This is a zigzag done in a pattern. Yeah, it's the same.
There's way more to it.
Two-color pattern.
I get where Dave's going. It's just it's a pattern made up of smaller things. For me, where both of those live and die is what kind of shorts they're going to be wearing with
them. Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Because that could be quite hideous.
And the answer is none, because we're never going to play in that case. It's a one-off collector's item, and
people for buying it.
It only goes with jeans.
Yeah. I think it
just shows how polarizing it is, doesn't it?
So
two and two in this one.
Yeah, exactly. Ella, can you let us know what you think of the kit?
You're the deciding vote. I think she actually posted on Twitter that she likes it.
I think the opinions are pretty mixed across the board.
Yeah, they are.
But I don't completely love it. Some people are like, oh my God, it's amazing. I don't think that. But I think the reasons people are getting really angsty about it are silly. Yeah. We see lots of kits that are as kind of different and jarring as this is that are fine.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for the podcast this week, everybody. A nice round, 45 minutes of football chat and design chat. The current complement of design experts on the pod, obviously.
We should have got a special one on, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should have. I think he hates it too. So there we go. 3-all, everybody. That definitely helps us. Hey, thank you for listening. Jump on the Patreon if you want to get early access to these episodes. We're putting them up a little bit beforehand because we don't really have anything extra to talk about at the moment. If you want to get them a couple of days before everybody else can listen to them, jump on there. But otherwise, we'll be back next time round, maybe with an A-League draw to talk about this time, or a part of it at least, and maybe with
signings,
more news about the Phoenix in Australia, something like that. So
maybe some T-Dubs games we might have been able to see as well.
Yeah, something at least. So we'll be back very soon, and thank you for listening and thank you for support. Cheers.
Shit kits bring you.
Thank you, Cam. I agree. Brings you. Cam's pair of signed Tim Payne boots bring you.
Golf shoes.
I was about to say, because you don't play anymore, mate.
Festoons bring you.
Phoenix City recording location number 37 brings you.